Morning, church. It's a delight to be here this morning to worship together with you. I haven't been here for around 2 years. I think it was 2 years ago that I last came, right? But over the last 2 years, it has been so busy, so I couldn't come as often as I would like. But reflecting on the last 2 years, we think about busyness, right? I think many of us, right, in Hong Kong are very busy people. We have lots of things to do, right? Lots of activities, and even for those of us in the ministry, life can be very, very busy as well. And so in our busyness, I think we need to reflect, right? And sometimes I reflect, why am I doing all these things? Why am I getting myself so busy, right? Why am I doing these things for? What is the motivation for doing these things? And so today's message is on if I do not have love, right? I want to begin by sharing a testimony that I heard a few weeks ago. So it was a sister in Christ in Yanfolk in the Chinese service, right? She was sharing about how she think about serving in ministry. Now, so this sister has been very involved, right, in the ministry, and so when people look at her, this sister in Christ, right, she is very fervent, right, very godly, right, doing a lot of things, right, for the Lord. However, she has been feeling resentful lately, right, because of certain relationship issues with her co-workers. Right. So there's been disagreements, and she has begun to grumble in her heart that she's losing the joy of serving. Right. And she's begun to complain, right, that so many things to do. Right. And she feels like giving up. She feels like stopping serving God. But one night, she had a dream, right? And she dreamed that God spoke to her, right? And then God was asking her, now, if I were to give you $10 million per month, right, for serving me, right, would you be willing to do this? Wow, 10 million, yeah, yes, of course, why not? That's worth it, right, isn't it? But then God asked her, right? Well, but aren't you grumbling? Aren't you feeling resentful? Aren't you complaining? Right? Isn't service such a suffering, right, for you? Right? So, but she replied to the Lord. She says, "Well, no. If it's for 10 million, right, I'll be willing to do it. No matter what the suffering, no matter the complaints, the disagreements I have, the unhappiness I have, right, I will feel very happy, right? If it's for $10 million a month, right, I will be very willing to serve, very willing." And then she suddenly woke up from a dream. And she realized that she loved money more than God. Now, after I heard this testimony, I've been reflecting over the last few months, right? What actually motivates me? Right? What motivates my life? Right? Why do I do all these things? Is it for money? Is it for praise of people? What is it for? Right? Or is it for love of God? Do I love other things more than God? Right? What am I doing all these things for? So the Bible passage which we read just now speak to us, I think. Right? It says that if I don't have love, right, all the things I do is actually meaningless, right? It's just making noise, right? It's just meaningless actually. So if we pray, but it's not done out of love for Jesus, then it is meaningless. If we read the Bible, but it's not done out of love for Jesus, then it is just legalism. It's just empty formality. If I want the church to be revived, right, but it's not out of love for Jesus, then it may be out of my own vainglory. I want my church to be big, right? It's not out of love for Jesus. If we share the gospel with others, but it's not out of love, again, it's empty, right? It's just maybe we want to show people, I bring a lot of people to the Lord, right? But it's not out of love, right? Again, it's meaningless. So Paul speaks to us here that if I speak with tongues of men and angels, right? Now, in those days, in the Corinthian church, to be able to speak in tongues, right, this is regarded as a sign of spirituality, right? So if you can blah, 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 speak in tongues, people say, oh, this guy is very spiritual, right? But Paul says, if I do this, right, but I do not have love, right? I'm just a noisy gong, I'm just making a lot of noise, I'm just a clanging cymbal. Now, what about the gift of prophecy? Now, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that the gift of prophecy is such a valuable gift. It's such a precious gift. is such an important gift. But Paul says, if I have this gift but I don't have love, right? Even if I can know all the mysteries and all the knowledge, right? But no, if I don't have love, again, I'm nothing, right? And if I have faith, if I have very strong faith, so strong that I can move mountains, I can remove all the obstacles, I can remove all the difficulties. But if I don't have love, again, I'm nothing. And if I were to give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Now, Paul is not saying that all these things are not important. Right? Paul is not saying that spiritual gifts are not important. Paul is not saying that sacrificial acts are not important. But what he is saying is that love is the most important. Right? So we need to ask ourselves, are we doing these things out of love? Are we praying out of love for Jesus? Are we serving? Are we doing a ministry out of love for Jesus? Or is it just out of routine? Is it that we are doing this to want the because we want praises from people, or is it because we love God and we want to bless people? What are we doing all this for? Or are we serving God because we want blessing? Is it that we want some blessing from God? Now it depends on what we mean by blessing, actually, right? But some people may be thinking about blessing in the form of financial reward, maybe, right? So some people may be thinking that, okay, if I give God a lot of money in my offering, right, then God will bless me, right, with lots of prosperity, right? Some people may have that kind of idea, right? However, when a person truly believes in God, then his glory and his pleasure becomes his and or her greatest desire, right? So God, right, God's glory, God's pleasure becomes his greatest reward. So it is not wrong, actually, to serve because we want reward. It depends on what is the reward that we want, right? What's the nature of the reward? As C.S. Lewis said, right, there's some reward which is proper, for us to have, right? And I think this is very important when we think about our theology, right? Especially, very often we heard in church, that we want to have a reward in heaven, right? And so I have students who ask me when I teach classes in the university. They ask me, so is it so you serve God because you want reward? Right? Now, is there a problem with that? Is that problematic? Now, isn't it mercenary? Right? Is it because you want to get some benefits and that's why you serve God? So is it still out of love if that's the case? Now, doesn't the Bible says that love is not self-seeking? Right? Now, how many of you have thought about this question before? Is there a contradiction? Okay, I see some of you raise your hands. Okay, so this is a question for you, right, to think about, right? On the one hand, the Bible says love is not self-seeking, right, and we should serve God out of love, right? On the other hand, the Bible also says we have treasures in heaven, right? There's reward, right? We serve God knowing that we have an inheritance in heaven, right? Colossians chapter 3, right, says that. Now, so is there a contradiction, do you think? Is there a contradiction in the Bible? Okay, you shake your head. Okay, when I teach classes in universities, I sometimes ask students to answer the question. Okay, yeah. But I won't do this. Okay, I won't do this today. Now, I think C.S. Lewis said something very interesting, right? And C.S. Lewis said, that there's a proper reward, for our actions. So if someone someone wants to marry a woman because the woman has lots of money, and he wants to marry the woman because she so-called loves the woman because she wants the money, right? Then it is mercenary, right? Then this reward is improper. This is not a proper reward, right? However, if she loves a woman and wants to get married with her, right? He wants to spend the rest of his life with her, right? And he got it, right? The woman says yes to him, right? And so he married the woman and got to spend the rest of his life with the woman he loved, right? So this is his reward, right? Marriage as a reward of his love. Now, I think that this is proper reward, right? There's nothing wrong, right, with this as a form of reward, right? So the key, right, is the what is the reward, right, that we want, and whether that reward is related to love or not, right? So love has its own rewards, right? Love has its own rewards. When we develop a love for Jesus and for others, right, then we will be rewarded. We will feel happy, right, when we see the Lord's name glorified. We will feel happy when we see other people come to faith, you know, come to believe in Jesus. We'll be happy when we see other Christians being blessed by our ministry. Right? And this happiness is a proper reward, right, of what you do. Right? Now, Billy Graham, I'm sure you all know him, right? He's one of the greatest evangelists, right, in the last century. Now, he says, towards the end of his life, that if I had to do it all over again, right, I would spend more time in meditation and prayer and just telling the Lord how much I love him. Now, a lot of people know Billy Graham as a very successful evangelist. You know, he has brought so many people to Christ. Right? But he says, you know, he will want to spend more time in prayer. You know, he says he wants to spend more time, you know, fellowship with God and telling God how much I love him. Right? And that really reveals the kind of priority, you know, that we should have, actually. You know, that are we, you know, thinking of our ministry as being more important than God himself? You know, are we spending so much time in ministry, right, in doing ministry, that, you know, we don't spend enough time, you know, fellowshipping with God? So, or are we spending our time on watching Korean drama? Or, you know? Now, I read somebody said something very meaningful, right? Joyce Meyer. Now, she says this. Now, she says, you know, what is the thing that Satan really like us to do, right? Actually, Satan likes us to be busy with a lot of things, right? And such that even ministry, even so-called good things, right? To be busy, right? With you know, speaking, teaching, you know, visitation, you know, doing a lot of so-called good things, but not spending enough time with God, right? So that's what Satan delights us doing, you know, busy with lots of things, but neglecting the Lord, right? So, yeah, we really need to ask ourselves, you know, how are we prioritizing, you know, our time with God? Are we reading the Bible out of love? Are we wanting to know God more? Otherwise, it's just legalistic, right? Are we sharing the gospel out of love? Otherwise, it's just motivated by, you know, self-centeredness, right? So the motivation is really important here. And when I look into my own life, I find that, you know, I sometimes wrestle with this issue, right? I wrestle with the issue of jealousy. Actually, this is something that I wrestle with in my life, right? So sometimes you know, I like to think of myself as sharing the gospel, you know, out of love, right, to bring people to Christ. However, sometimes I feel a bit jealous, you know, when I see, you know, maybe there's other pastors, other preachers, you know, they preach, you know, and they bring more people to Jesus, you know, and say, oh, you know, that guy, you know, he's such a good preacher, you know. So yeah, sometimes I feel a tinge of jealousy. Now, I don't know about you, but I heard somebody once share this, right? Do you think it's easier, right, to share in your friend's sorrow, or do you think it's easier to share in your friend's happiness? What do you think? Now, I think it's a natural tendency for many of us, you know, if we see our friends or loved ones, you know, if they feel sad, right, if, you know, then we will feel sympathy for the person, right? We'll feel sad as well. However, what if your friend is successful? What if he's more successful than you? Will you rejoice with your friend? When you see, oh, your friend is successful, will you rejoice with him? Or will you feel envious? Right? Will you feel jealous? Right? So jealousy, right, is something that we need to watch out for, right, in our lives. And when we read the Bible, we see so many people fall, so many people fell because of jealousy, right? So we know the story of Solomon, right? So, you know, Solomon was, right, quite successful as a king, as a warrior for the Lord, until he saw David come along, right? And this David, right, and, you know, the women were saying that, oh, you know, Saul killed thousands, but David killed tens of thousands, right? And he became filled with jealousy, right, and he wanted to kill David, right? But we read the story of Cain and Abel, right? We saw that, you know, why did Cain kill Abel? Well, because he was jealous, right? The Lord seems to honor Abel more than Cain, right? So jealousy is something very dangerous. You know? It can lead to murder, right? So we need to watch out for that. And so this is something that I've been learning in my life, you know, how to overcome this. And I really find that this verse in the Bible really helps me a lot, right? John chapter 3, verse 30. And this is something that John the Baptist said, right? He says, Jesus, he must increase, but I must decrease, right? So, now, when John said this, when his disciples told him that, oh, you know what? A lot of people are following Jesus, right? And they are no longer following you, right? So, did John become envious? Did he become jealous? Well, no. Now, John was very clear about his mission in life, right? He knows that his focus is not on himself, right? His focus is on Jesus, right? Why? Because he loved Jesus, right? So he loved Jesus more than anything else. So when he saw people following Jesus, he is happy. Even though people are no longer following him, that's fine, right? So to see that he must increase, but I must decrease. So this is the secret, I think, to overcome jealousy, to overcome, is love of Jesus, right? And the love of people. This is the secret, right, to overcome jealousy. I mean, if you really love a person, you'll feel happy, right, that he come to Christ, no matter who brought him to Christ, right? Even if it's true, not through you, it may be through other people, you'll feel happy, right, if the person come to Christ, if you really love the person. So, are we serving out of love, right, for Jesus and for others, right? This is the key question we need to ask ourselves. Now, what if we don't serve out of love? Right. If we don't serve out of love, right, what will be the consequence? Now, there's this passage, right, which I think I shared on this passage the last time I was here. And so I want to say a bit more about this passage. Now, again, in the same book, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, right, so earlier on in the same letter, Paul says that each man's work will become evident. For the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as though through fire. Now, what is Paul trying to say here? Well, Paul is saying that each man's work will be tested by fire. So how we live our lives, the ministry we do, right, the things that we do for God, for others, right, all these things will be tested by fire. There'll be a testing that comes, right, when Christ comes back to judge. Now, and with this point, I want to correct a misconception that a lot of people have, right, about eternal life, about the Christian life. Now, one misconception I have heard some people say was that, it doesn't matter how I live my life, right? As long as I believe in Jesus, that'll be fine. Because if we believe in Jesus, we go to heaven, right? So I can believe in Jesus, still live a very self-centered life. I can go on. I don't have to serve in church, right? I don't have to serve God. I don't have to serve other people. As long as I believe in Jesus, I can go to heaven, right? And so, when I go to heaven, when we all go to heaven, we will all be equally happy, right? In heaven, everybody will be happy, right? And so, it doesn't really matter whether I live a holy life or not, or serve God, since in heaven, all of us will be equally happy, right? So why am I wasting time serving God? Why don't I just go out and enjoy myself, right? Enjoy living a life satisfying my own desires and pleasures? Right? Why should I serve God, since all of us are going to be equally happy in the end? So I have heard some people say this in church before, right? So as long as I believe in Jesus, I can go to heaven, so it doesn't matter how I live my life. Now, this is a serious misconception, right? Because when the Bible verse that we have just read, right, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, right, it says that some Christians will suffer loss, right? So it says suffer loss. That's what the Bible says. And some Christians will suffer shame as well when Christ comes again. Right? So it is not the case that everybody will be equally happy in heaven. That is a serious misconception a lot of people have. Right? I mean, this is not what I say. I mean, this is what the Bible says. Right? The Bible says some people will suffer loss. Suffer loss. Right? Some people will feel regret. When Christ comes again, they will be saved. The Bible says they'll be saved, right? But they will feel regrets that for not serving out of love more in this life. And when Christ comes again, there'll be no more opportunity. There'll be no more chance. Right? You'll feel regret. Right? Regret. Right? And there's no way you can live your life again. Right? So you have wasted your life, you know, doing things that is of no real value. Right? Pursuing things that just satisfy your pleasure. Right? Those things will have no real value. They will not be remembered. Right? And you will feel regret. You will feel loss. And you will feel shame as well. So this will be the consequence, right, if we don't serve out of love. But more seriously, I think that some of those people who have this misconception might not be saved in the first place. Why? Well, the reason is because when a person truly believes in Jesus, right, he will want to love God. He will want to love others. Why would he want to love God and others? Well, because he has experienced the love of God, right? If a person truly believes in Jesus, right, he will have recognized that he's a sinner, that he is supposed to be condemned, but Christ loved him so much that Christ died for him, right? And so once he received Jesus as his savior, he will be so grateful to God, right? He will experience the love of God. He'll be so grateful that he would want to love God back, right? As a response to Jesus' love, right? As the Bible says, we love because he first loved us, right? So a person who have truly believed in Jesus will have received his love. And a person who has received his love will want to love God and love others, right? He wouldn't want to spend the rest of his life, you know, just pleasing himself, right? So if a person, you know, thinks that he has so-called believe in Jesus, you know, but still want to live the rest of his life in a very self-centered way, then we really need to question whether has he truly believed in Jesus or not, right? Whether has he truly understood the gospel, right? What belief in Jesus means. Now I need to clarify that I'm not saying that serving God is the way to get to heaven, right? That is wrong, right? I mean, we are saved by grace through faith, right? So our good works is not the way to get to heaven. However, our good works is a fruit of salvation, right? So good works is not a means of salvation, but is a fruit of salvation. It's an effect, right? So if somebody truly believes in Jesus, right, he would more or less, right, he would want to serve God. Now, some people may serve God more, some people may serve God less, and on the day of judgment, all our work will be tested, right? So for those of us who serve God less than what we ought to, and we will suffer loss, right? However, if somebody doesn't serve God at all, right, then we need to question whether he really truly believe or not, right? He may not have truly believed, right? Because a person who truly believe in Jesus, he will serve God to some extent, maybe not very much, but at least to some extent, right? Because it is impossible that someone who truly believe not actually do any good works at all, that is inconsistent, right, with the gospel which he has received. So this is something very serious, right? We need to reflect on whether have we truly believed in Jesus, right? And we need to reflect on our lives. What are we doing? What are we living our lives for? Are we living a worthy life, right? And at the end of the day, are our lives all in vain? Are we living our lives spending it on things that are of no real value, right? Or is it? Are we doing things that is of real value, that can stand the test of fire? And so Paul also goes on to say, right, that for those people who don't serve God, right, out of love, right, in the end, their works will be burned up, that will be in vain. However, for those people who serve God, right, out of love, they will receive a reward, right? And I mentioned the character of the reward earlier on, right? So this reward, right, is not the nature of the reward is very important, right? Now when we read the Bible, we find that sometimes the Bible mentions the crowns, right? That you will receive a crown when Christ comes again. Now we need to ask ourselves a question, right? What is this crown? So you mean I try so hard to serve God, at the end of the day I just get something to put on my head? Is that what it's for? Do I really want this? No, but read what the Bible says. First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. Paul says, "For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord when he comes? Is it not you?" Right? So when we read the Bible carefully, we'll recognize that crowns, treasures, these are metaphors. It's not literally a crown. Right? I mean, if it's literally a crown, I don't think I may want it. No, why do I want to get something to put on my head? Right? However, no, it is you, right? The person that the people that you're serving. No, this will be your reward when you go to heaven. Right? Now you might ask, okay, do I really want that? Now, if you are somebody who has truly known the love of Jesus, right, you will want to love other people. And when you love other people, when you truly love other people, you will be happy when you see other people are blessed, right? You'll be happy. You'll be so happy when you see your family members receive Christ, and that they can spend eternity with you and with our Lord in heaven, right? You'll feel so happy when you see them in heaven, right? One day, and that happiness is your reward. Those people that you led to Christ, those people will be your reward. Those people that you have spent your life ministering, those people you have spent your life discipling, right? When you see them in the presence of the Lord on that day, right, you will feel so happy. You'll feel so satisfied. You know, you will come to realize that, you know, I have not lived my life in vain. Right? I'm not served in vain. I have seen these people, you know, that God used me as an instrument, right, to bless them. Right? And you have lived a life worth living. So that is the reward, and that is a proper reward, right, for your ministry of love. This is the proper reward. And the joy and satisfaction, right, that comes from this reward is beyond anything that money can compare. Right? It's beyond anything that money can compare. And Christ himself said that on that day, right, the master will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." And this happiness, again, is greater than any other happiness that this world can ever give you, that the material things of this world can ever give you. This happiness of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, right, is something that you will enjoy on that day. And this joy, again, is something that we need to reflect on. Now, if you truly love someone, you will be happy when that person is happy, right? If you truly love someone, right? And that's why when we truly love the Lord, right, we will feel so happy when he is happy. And thus, the pleasure of the Lord becomes our greatest pleasure. His joy becomes our joy. And that's why pleasing the Lord becomes the motivation, right, for all that we do. Right? We want to please God, right, because we love him. And we love him because he loves us first. And so on that day, we will get to share in this joy, this awesome joy, right, that is more wonderful, more joyful than any other things, than any other things can bring. And this will be our reward. And we love him because he first loved us, right? So this is the reason why we love God. This is the motivation for loving God, you know, because he first loved us. Right? He sacrificed himself for us first. Now, how much does God love us? Have you ever thought about this before? Now, we know about the cross, right? That he died for us on the cross. And Lent, right? We are now in Lent, right? The Good Friday is coming. And when I read the Gospels again and again, I become amazed, right, at how much, you know, God actually loves us. You know, every time I read, you know, every time I have a new a deeper understanding of God's love, right? So I'm sure you all know about the story in Luke chapter 15 about, you know, Jesus using a few stories to illustrate God's love, right? The story of somebody who left behind the 99 sheep and went out to look for the one sheep that was lost, right? I mean, how many of you will do that? How many of you will leave behind 99 that you have and go out to seek for one? I think many of us will think that, well, I already have 99, right? Why do I bother about that one? But that's the love of God. I mean, he's so concerned about each individual one of us, right? That we are not just one person among the crowd, right? But each of us individually, you know, we are so deeply loved and deeply valued by God, you know, to such an extent that he will leave behind all else, right, and come and look for you. Right? And when we read the story of the prodigal son, right? You know, the son has done so much bad things, you know, spent away, wasted away, you know, the father's resources, the father's possession. But when he come back to the father, right, and apologize, "Father, I'm sorry," right? Now the father didn't rebuke him, the father didn't scold him, but the father says, "No, come, no," and embrace him, no? And the father give him the best robes, the best, right? Put the best clothes on him, right? So these stories illustrate the extent of God's love for us, no? That he really want us to have the best, right? And the best kind of life, right, is a life that is not focused on yourself, right? It's not self-seeking, it's not self-centered, but it's a life that is focused on God, right? And that's the reason why, you know, the Bible says the greatest commandment is to love God with all our heart, right? All our soul, all our mind, all might. Now, sometimes we may have a question, and this is a question my students ask me as well. Now, isn't God a bit self-centered, do you think? I mean, God tells us to be selfless, right? To be unselfish, to love God. But then God says we must love him, right? So God says, no, love me, love me. Now, isn't so, you know, God, now God tells us to love him. Now, isn't that selfish? Isn't that self-centered? Isn't God self-centered to want us to love him? Have you ever thought about this question before? Have you ever, we have read the Bible, many Bible verses that tells us to worship God, right? To glorify him, right? Have you ever asked this question? Now, why does God want us to glorify him? Is it that God is so vain that he wants our praise? No? Oh, praise me, you know? Is it that is God self-seeking? Is God self-centered? Why does God want us to praise him? Why does he want us to worship him? Right. So this is a question that I just received from a student, you know, just last week. You know? Yeah, so it's something very fresh, and that's why I feel like talking about it. Okay. Now, we need to realize that there is something different, right, about God wanting us to love him and wanting us to worship him, you know, compared to a human being, you know, wanting people to focus on him and to praise him. And the difference is this. God is love himself. God is love. Right? God is the God who is the God of truth, goodness, beauty, perfection. He is the perfect one. And so there is nothing more worthy than God, right? God is the most worthy being, right? And therefore, to love God is to love love, right? And love is good, and we should love what is good, right? And that's why we ought to love God, right? It is fitting. That should be the way. Moreover, when we love God, when we have a close relationship with God, right, we find the greatest satisfaction in life. And when we glorify God, right, we are able to have the right perspective on things. Right? Otherwise, if we don't glorify God, if we don't worship God, we will tend to worship other things. Right? So if a person don't love God, if a person doesn't worship God, no, he will tend to worship money or sex or power or whatever. And those things will lead you to corruption. Right? So if you don't worship God, you will worship other things. You will put other things in the first place of your life. And those things will lead you to destruction. And precisely because God loves you, that's why he wants you to love him, to worship him. Because it is in worshiping and loving God that you find the ultimate fulfillment and purpose of your life. That you will end up doing things that is worth doing. Right? That you will have the right perspective of life. You know, that you will not value those worthless, those things that is not so worthy as God, you know, to be more worthy than God. You know, that would be wrong, right? And you will waste your life away. And so God wants us to love him because he loves us. And in fact, all the commandments of the Bible, right, is given to bless us. Right? The commandments of the Bible is not to restrict us, it's not to take away our freedom, but the commandments of the Bible is to lead us to life, to the truly abundant life. And the greatest commandment is to love God. Right? So when we follow the greatest commandment, we will get the greatest blessing, which is, you know, this, to enjoy the presence of God in our lives. So the Bible tells us how much God loves us. You know, that God demonstrates his own love towards us, that he's even willing to sacrifice himself for us, right? That Christ died for us. And much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. Right? And the Bible says, for when we are still enemies, we are reconciled to God through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And how much more, right, we shall enjoy the life that he wants to give us, the abundant life, that he really want us to have the best, the very best of life. And that's right, Jesus tells us, right, that we should love other people just as he has loved us. And so we love God because he loved us first, and we love others because he loves us, right? And he wanted us to love other people just as he has loved us. Now, what about serving God? Why do we have to serve God? Why do we serve God anyway? Is it because God needs us to serve him, do you think? Does God want us to serve him because God requires, God need us to serve him? Otherwise, God will lack something. Now, obviously, that's not true, right? The Bible tells us that God does not need anything. But God is the one who created the world and all things. Right? He is the Lord of heaven and earth. Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. So this verse tells us very clearly that actually God doesn't want us to serve him because he needed anything. God doesn't need anything from us. So why does God create us? Again, this is a question that I don't know whether you have asked about this question before. Why does God create us? My students always ask me, very often ask me this question. Why does God create human beings? Is it because he's lonely? No, he wants somebody to accompany him? Well, not really. I mean, this may be true if God is just unipersonal, like the Islamic conception of God, if that is true. Right. However, according to the Bible, God is not unipersonal. God is tripersonal, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Right. So God is not lonely. Right. The Trinity enjoys the eternal relationship of love. Right. And so God doesn't have to create anybody. God doesn't have to create anything. So God created the universe. God created us not because he needed anything, not because he has to create. Rather, it is his own free choice. He freely chose to create. And the reason why he freely chose to create is because he did it out of love. And he wants to bless his creation. He wants us to be able to share in the divine triune love that that God enjoys from eternity. He wants us to share in that divine love. Right? And that's the reason why Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, that he prayed for that all of us, right, may be one, just as he and the Father are one, and the love that they have may be shared among us as well, that we have unity with God and with one another. Right? This union in love, right, that is the ultimate aim, the ultimate joy, the ultimate blessing that God wants us to have. So God did not create us because he needed anything. Rather, the Bible says God created us to bless us. He himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. Right? So God created us because he wants to bless us. He wants us to enjoy this love. And so the reason why God wants us to serve him is not because God needed anything. Rather, the reason is because in serving God, we experience the blessing. In serving God, we experience the blessing. And the blessing involves the experience of God, that we experience God more when we serve him. We learn to love God and to love other people through serving him. And when we learn that, when we do that, we live a life that's really worth living. Right? We live a really meaningful life. We find the meaning of life, right, in serving God and in serving others. Right? And so we end up being truly blessed, right, when we serve him. And therefore, we shouldn't complain. Right? We shouldn't grumble, right, in our ministry. Right? Okay, we shouldn't grumble. How come I have so many things to do? Okay, don't grumble. Right, if Pastor Jeffrey asks you to do some things, right, we should rejoice. Right, we should rejoice, and we should thank God, right, for giving us the chance to serve. Right. Okay. So, can you tell the person next to you, don't grumble, right, in serving, right? Don't grumble. Right. Give thanks. Give thanks, right? Yeah. Give thanks when you serve, right? Serve out of a thankful heart. Serve out of a thankful heart. Right? Serve out of a joyful heart. Because God gives us this opportunity to serve. Right? It's such a blessing, right, to serve. And it's a blessing that God wants us, all of us, to enjoy. Right? And the reason why God wants to bless us is because he is love. Right? And that's why he wants to bless us. And the way to receive the greatest blessing, right, is to obey the greatest commandment, which is to love God with all our heart and all our soul, all our strength and all our mind, and to love others as ourselves. That's the greatest commandment. And therefore, right, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord, right, knowing that it's Him that we serve. Right. And Jesus said these words to Peter, right? That he asked Peter, do you love me more than this? Right? So we know that Peter has Peter betrayed Jesus 3 times, right? He denied Jesus 3 times, right? But Jesus did not give up on him. Right? Jesus, after he resurrected, right, he came and looked for Peter. Right? He took the initiative to look for Peter. Right? He brings Peter back to himself and restored Peter. Right? Restore his faith, restore his love for him. Right. And Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Right. Do you love me more than other things? Right. And then Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Right. And then Jesus said, feed my lambs, serve other people, tend my sheep. Right. This is how we express our love to God. Right. So I believe that God is calling us, all of us today, right, to ask us to reflect, right, on our lives, on our motivations, right, to reflect on these questions. Right. Have we been saved? Right. This is the first question we need to reflect. Right. Maybe you have been coming to church, for some time, or maybe even for many years, right, but have you actually understood the gospel, the salvation? Right. Have you understood what does it mean to be saved? And if you haven't, if you are a new friend among us, right, then I welcome you, right, to consider the precious salvation that God has given you, right, that God loves you so much, right, that He gave His Son for you, right, and He wants you to enjoy this abundant life, this eternal life with Him forever. So God wants us, all of us, to enjoy this abundant life. But the reason why many people are not experiencing this abundant and meaningful life is because of sin, right? We have all disobeyed God in some ways or another. We are all imperfect, right? We are very often selfish, We are often self-centered, right? And because of our self-centeredness, right, we have thought and did things, that is wrong, right, in the sight of God. However, God is willing to forgive us. He loves us so much. He sent His Son Jesus into the world to die for us, right, to pay for the price of our sins, such that our sins can be forgiven. Right? He wants us to come back to Him, just as the Father waiting for the prodigal son to come home. Right? He wants us to restore this relationship with Him, and He has already made it possible, right, by sending His Son to die for us. So by accepting Jesus, right, as your Lord and Savior, right, you can receive this salvation, and you can enjoy eternity with God. You can enjoy the abundant life that He wants you to have, a full and meaningful life, now and forever. Right? So for those of us who have already been saved, right, we need to reflect on our motivation. Right? Do we love money more than God? Would you be happy to serve God if He gives you $10 million a month? Right? Or would you be happy to serve God because He is God and because He loves you, because you love Him? Right? Do we love God more than money? Are we willing to serve Him joyfully? Are we willing to pray more out of love for Jesus? Are we willing to serve out of love for Jesus? Right. So these are the questions that we need to reflect. Now, I preached this sermon a few months ago, to another congregation. And after preaching this sermon, I felt very impacted myself. And so I wrote in my diary whatever I do, I want to love God more. Whatever I do, I want to love God more. And I want to draw close to Him more. Right. So maybe you want to write this in your diary as well. That whatever I want to, whatever I do, let it makes me love God more. Okay. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your abundant blessings on our lives. We are so grateful to you that you created us, not because you needed anything, but because you want to bless us. You want us to know you as our Lord and Savior, and to experience a relationship of love with you, a love that will bring ultimate fulfillment and joy to our lives, a love that will make our life worth living. Thank you, Lord, because you love us first, and you created us, and you provided us salvation. You sacrificed your Son, Jesus, for us, because you love us so much. You want to forgive us, and you want to help us to reconcile with you. And thank you that we have received this salvation. Lord, thank you for this abundant blessing that you have on our lives. And may your love motivate each one of us here. Help us to love you more. Help us to enjoy your presence more, to draw close to you often in our lives, to draw closer and closer to you each day. And let our life, our ministry, our service be done out of love for you. That all the things we do, out of love for you, so that we don't do it in vain, that we do it meaningfully. And may our ministry be a blessing to others, and may it bring glory to your name. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.